Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yawning.
Hello, welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WIZO Radio 103.9.
I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I loved my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door.
Something changed
when I became of age. And all those things
our God is an awesome God. He reigns over heaven and earth and kings with power and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Not mine. And our guests today are J.W. Kennedy, Dread Pirate Higgs, Boudreaux, Red Leader, and George. Hello, all.
Hi.
How are you there?
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. And did you know that there's a streaming atheist call-in TV / video show broadcasting here in Knoxville? Did you know that, Wombat?
Yeah, I took notes the entire time.
Did you?
And I feel
good for you.
I kind of feel, one, that it was very brutal, but I don't know I was really ready for another... You know, like, I like video games and stuff like that, but
video games?
It's a little dark when you have to play a game where everyone's dying from a virus in the time where, like, people are actually dying from viruses. So it's just like, I loved Ellie, I love Joel, I'm not going to do any spoilers, but man, that is a dark game, and it gets really brutal sometimes.
Gratuitously
so,
biologically you know,
check it out.
Violent.
Though I am excited to play it on the PlayStation 5. I think
you
it's
must have
really
got off on some other platform, but this is a call-in talk TV show that we also have broadcasting every Wednesday night. And it goes out on YouTube as well. Go to YouTube and look for the Free Thought Coalition, Free Thought United Coalition of Knoxville, and you'll be able to see their videos there. If you'd like to interact with us during this radio show, go to Facebook and do a search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour and use the messaging function to send us questions or comments.
Nice.
What's our topic today there, Wombat?
Hey, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff, free will. But before we begin, I leave it open to our Dread Pirate Higgs for our invocation.
This is our Quab's prayer. Our noodly Lord, who art in a colander, al dente be thy noodles. Thy sauce be rum, thy sauce be yum, with meat as it is with vegetables. Give us this day our garlic bread, and forgive us our cussing, as we put up with those who cuss against us.
Nice.
And lead us not into ketoism, but deliver us some carbs, for thine are the noodles and the sauces and the grog whenever and ever.
Amen.
Okay. Hey, I love when we have new guests. I figured this is probably a nice time to open up some time and talk about them. George / Richard, tell us your life story in 30 seconds. Go.
Well, this is a new experience for me. I was a radio announcer 50 years ago, and I'm trying to get it back. So please put up with me. I was raised as an atheist in New York City. So I have never been to an atheist's meeting before.
They're happening all over the place now.
True.
Meetup groups are a lot of atheist meetup groups out there.
Yeah, I guess when you are raised one, you don't really need to feel like you need to seek out one, but
you
always
community
have your family
at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my mother was, I mean, she wasn't out to convert everybody. She just didn't do religion. And my father just didn't care at all.
Nice. it's a wonderful
Very
thing
good.
To hear that. Yeah, good.
Now, in New York City, there is an organization called the Ethical Society the New York Society for Ethical Culture. Mm. So I was raised in that a little bit here and there. They've been around for a long time, and they have a presence on the web. So in my case, I grew up in Brooklyn, and I went to the Brooklyn Society for Ethical Culture.
Nice.
Which is on Prospect Park West in Brooklyn. And it was started around the turn of the 20th century, I understand. And they incorporated themselves as a religion, ironically. So they're chartered as a religion in New York State.
So they're an ethical society, don't have a God belief, but they consider themselves a religion. So it's an atheist religion, more or less.
They
right?
they don't consider themselves a religion, really. They're just chartered as one officially.
Yeah. How do I put it? Just because you're religious doesn't mean you believe in a God, right? Like, you could have, like, atheist-based, you know, spiritual practices that's just about community and getting together.
Eastern religions, a lot of Eastern religions are like that. Taoism, yeah. Buddhism, Shintoism,
and Jainism. And personally, my issue isn't even theism. It's just Gnosticism without any support backing it. Like, you can believe in a God that actually exists. I'm totally fine with that. But how do you know if that God exists or not? That's what I'm really concerned about. But that's great. That's great, Richard. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, here I am in Tennessee now and surrounded by more religion than I ever have been in my whole life.
Oh, you drove through Kentucky. You hold your breath.
You know, no. I don't understand it. The man who cuts my hair is a minister. And he's a fellow on the left.
Yeah, I think everybody here is either a pastor or a minister. Like, I think when I go to McDonald's, like, the people who give me the food are like, you know, bishops and priests and stuff like that. It's just like, you
can, they everyone feel like they are.
Yeah, they feel like they are. That's probably the best thing.
And people say to me, have a blessed day, and I have no idea what to say back to them.
J.W. Kennedy, here's a good question for you. What would you say to someone who told you, hey, have a blessed day?
I just say thank you.
Yeah.
I just don't really, there's some non-religious people, some atheists see that as an opportunity, as a window or a doorway to enter into a street epistemology like conversation. For me, it's more a thank you. I just let it go unless I know them personally.
Yeah, exactly. For me, that's just a sentiment.
And even then, that's not something that would get me into a conversation.
Yeah. I would draw the line if they gave me like a business card and invited me to their church or something. But other than that, it's just like, nah, that's
SE good. Time. That's SE yeah. time with a business card. Funny you gave this to me.
There is a corollary question, and that is, may I pray for you or shall I pray for you? I've had that a couple of times.
I like that question.
I just said no.
They're asking for consent, though, and I like that. That's good.
I say I'd rather you pray on your own, like in private. I'd appreciate it, but not with me here.
I write down right a short now. List of gods that they have to pray to. So it's Kulu, the volcano god. It's Seramtu, the god of the 16th dimension. He has fangs. Make sure you don't mix that up. And then the god of mustaches. God of mustaches is like one of the best gods. Very cool. I'm going to open this up to caller/Dale Newman. Dale Newman, tell us your life story in 30 seconds. Go for it. No pressure.
I'm 27 seconds.
Okay. Right. Have you been on the show before? Were you here last week?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you already been on. We know you. Okay. That's good. Good to see you back. And then everyone here there's a lot of Tennessee representation here.
Yeah, but I don't think Dale had a chance to tell us who he was. Or did you get into that last week?
Who I am.
Yeah. Hey, now that we can see you, why don't you just reintroduce yourself? How about that?
Yeah.
My name's Dale. Hi, Dale. I like to go by Red Leader or Really Good Looking. neither of which really catches on. I was searching for God for a long time, discovered Darwin's Origin of Species when I was in elementary school and was telling the kids about it. Hey, this is really neat book about how things came about. And a few days later, three carloads of kids showed up at my house to take me to a revival.
Oh.
And that was fun.
I'm ignorant. And, what is a revival?
A revival? It's where you convert people.
Jesus.
And Jesus
Kill.
They revive the fire in your soul for Christianity during
Do they need like parental permission, or can they just straight up come in a bus and take you and stuff like that? Like, how does this work?
We didn't get any permission, but my parents knew where I was going. So I gave my life to Christ, and I think that lasted maybe 18 hours. And I reverted back to my old ways, and now I'm a deist and live in Tennessee, trying to deal with all of the religiosity that previously described.
Well, maybe a lot of people that were listening to us might not know exactly what a deist is. Would you go into that a second?
That's a great question.
It's just an irritating point of view to most people. It leaves open the idea that there is a God. And as a matter of fact, we know pretty well which direction there is a God, if there is one. And I just choose to believe in something else out there. Maybe it's the influence of Star Trek and all the other things. But before, no one would have any idea that God would probably have to be in the neighborhood of the Big Bang. And now we can speculate maybe there's something beyond the Big Bang. Who knows?
But he doesn't take a particular interest in us, and he doesn't have a book.
Yeah.
It's like, do you have to be a deist to believe the statements that you just stated?
Oh, that's a great
question. No, I don't think so. I'm no different from an atheist, or I don't pray a whole lot or do any of this sort of, I don't try to get votes when I run for public office by screaming I'm a deist or anything like that. But it's just a comfortable position for me.
Now, I understand that the signers of our Declaration of Independence, that most of them were deists.
Yes.
Because if they were atheists, they wouldn't be our founding fathers anymore. Mm. They'd get some other white guys.
Right.
They'd be like, you guys are out. Who's next in line? Okay, great. We need male landowners. Come in here and sign this document. You're our new founding fathers.
I'm wondering, would they be deists if they knew what we knew today about how much we've learned about science? Since
I think they'd be surprised. Seriously. That black people aren't property. They'd be like, what? Oh, okay. Well,
that's true.
Yeah. What's this coronavirus thing? You're saying I have to cover my mouth when I cough? Whoa, that's bizarre. People live past 30? Wow. This is okay.
But during that time, they often expressed the natural God, and which would be a reference to the nature as being sure. God. And that's a pretty defensible position when you consider that nature has created us. And mindlessly, but...
And we are, and
that's where the word create becomes problematic, because it has its own baggage. And so to say nature created us is an agency implication.
Well, also we could say that an earthquake. Also, we
what
could say
is a deist?
Dale, what were you saying again? Could you
we can up? Also say that an earthquake created Real Foot Lake, mm-hmm. but the earthquake has no
intention.
Intention.
No agent.
Then wouldn't it be better to use the term caused then?
I like that too. Mm-hmm. I think I don't want to get too caught up on the words. I would worry about, not worry, but it sounds more like he's using God as a label for natural things. And then my question would be, is there a justification for calling something like an elephant if the label may not necessarily apply, and why don't we just call it what it is rather than what it is plus here's my God label on top of it?
Yeah.
Like that would be my more fundamental approach for that. Yeah. But what we're talking about is more of like how to assess things in an SE kind of idea. And maybe we should talk about SE since we have two new guys here. SE is a very, very complicated term.
How do you spell it?
I get it wrong half the time. It's all a big deal. Think of it as like Socratic examination, SE. It's more
street,
of just a way of
epistemology. Street epistemology.
Right. It's a way of asking.
Wait, first, what is SE and how do you spell it?
Man, that's great.
Who wants to do research?
I'll handle that question. SE is basically talking to people without sounding like a jerk and trying to get to the bottom of why they believe things. And it
how
stands
do you spell
for.
It? Is this a word?
Yeah.
E.
S.
That's how you spell.
Oh, come on.
S. Out of five, you're such.
What is it?
It's S. E. for nut. Yeah, it stands for street epistemology, but you can also look up Socratic examination. You'll get the same thing, or look up Let's Chat on YouTube, and you'll find plenty of examples of it. Also, Mind Pirate with a Y. Well,
let me just say,
speak your beautiful mind.
Epistemology.
Hey, got to get stuff on your channel, Barbie.
Yeah. No.
What?
Epistemology is the study of how we learn things or how we know things.
Right.
And taking it to the streets and talking to individuals on the street is street epistemology. And right. What you're trying to do is you're homing in on their reasons, their logic, their approach, right. Their methods for gaining knowledge.
And that's fantastic. Because instead of saying
the conclusions that they reach.
Instead of saying you're a deist, that's silly because you're making fun of deism and that might make someone more defensive. Or saying, I can't believe you're a deist, that's attacking them as a person. You ask, like, how did you come to the conclusion that deism is true? And then they give you their reasonings, like, I just like Star Trek, it makes me comfortable. Or maybe, you know, I just chose to believe it. Yeah. And you ask, is that a reliable way to come to a true conclusion or not? And if they say, well, you know, really, I'm just more like an atheist as everything. It's like, that's cool. I'm not here to push you. I just want to know if there's a reasonable path to get from point A to point B.
And is it a valid path? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it is, I'll believe it too. I don't care what it is, but I just need that path.
A demonstrable path.
You know, something can still be true and only true once. I'm totally fine with something not being repeatable. Though I would love for something to be repeatable. It doesn't necessarily have to be repeatable to be true. It's just one of those things. All right, man, we got nerdy for a while. And guess who jumped out? There he is. Chico the devil himself. Yeah. All right, so I was just about to mention the wordy dirty on free will. So here's the thing. We're going to be breaking in like about 10 minutes. I figure before we delve into free will, it might be a good idea to just get everyone's definitions on free will. That way we make sure we're talking about the same thing. Because whenever I talk to this guy down here, and I'm saying down here because on my channel, two screens down, there's where Boudreaux is. Yeah. Boudreaux has very, very impassioned beliefs on what free will is and what it isn't, but we have very different definitions of what free will is. So I agree with his perspective on what he calls free will, but I think it'd be good to just make sure we're all on the same page. In my opinion, real quick, free will is the difference between walking out of a restaurant and being pulled out of a restaurant, right? So like if I'm choosing to leave on my own free will, that's my free will. If I'm dragged out against my free will, that's the violation of free will. And between those two is the difference between those two is what I would call free will. How about this? Dread Pirate Higgs, what do you think free will is?
Well, I think free will is really about whether or not we make the choices that we believe we do. So it's not a matter of just being walking out of a restaurant, being pulled out. It's whether that is ever a choice in my own mind.
Okay. George/Richard, what do you think free will is?
Well, I think in essence, it's what you said, Tyrone. The difference between being dragged out of a restaurant or walking out of the restaurant.
Cool for me. Mr. Good Looking, did you want to say really good looking? Red Leader, what do you think free will is?
Independent thought.
Independent thought. What do you mean by that?
Well, thought. You're being able to think things that maybe you have not thought of before or not being introduced into your brain by some commercial or other outside source.
Oh, I love this. Yeah. And Eric's not in his head. He's like, yeah, I like that. JW, what do you think free will is? Just making sure we're all on the same page. I'm making like two different camps in my head. Go for it.
I am a spectator to this conversation because it's deep stuff. I could not give you a coherent definition,
okay.
To be honest, because I think all of our choices are influenced to some degree by our environment, by our memories, by our biases, by our language, the languages that we know, by how hungry we are. It's deep. So I'm going to pop some imaginary popcorn and listen.
And that's the kind of definition that's closer to what I'm suggesting is the case.
Okay. Datter five, you're up on the bat or you're on the base home plate.
Okay. Is that how the baseball works? I pretty much agree with JW. I would throw one other thing in there. Heredity. A lot of our future decisions based on where we came from, biologically with our DNA, our family, our upbringing. But getting to your example, I think free will is more like deciding to walk out of the restaurant or deciding to stay. You know, it's not whether somebody else is forcing me to do something. It's my own personal choice to do one thing versus doing another thing.
Okay.
And being able to freely choose between those two.
And I would say someone dragging me out is a violation of what my free will is if I decide to eat food.
Sure.
Okay. Boudreaux, I'm buckled up. I'm ready to go. All right. Look, I'm strapped in. I'm not going to interrupt. You got the floor. Go for it.
I have to kind of riff for just a second. I think we're going down an interesting road here to try to have everyone have their own definition about this. If we're talking about your free will, which I think is a free will, you're talking about like you're doing something or someone is doing something for you. I'm not sure we'd have a podcast about that. That's not a very interesting topic, except for if we're talking about, you know, the crime or punishment or something like that. But I thought what we were trying to talk about is whatever you want to define it as, is what JW is saying and what others are saying. Can you make a decision? Like, can you pick a number between 1 and 100? Are you able to do that freely, or is it biology? And I think in what I heard JW say, everything he listed off, heredity, being hungry, how much of any of those do you have control over? And I think zero. Mm. And my stance is that we think we have free will. We think we can freely choose. And I think random number or pick your favorite movie or anything like that is a good example. Because if you think that you are the author of that choice, I think you are in that delusion of having free will.
Yeah. Cool. And I love that statement because you're recognizing like some people call two different things free will. And so one of them is a more interesting conversation than the other. So what we're going to do is put aside the idea of, hey, if someone does something I don't want, that's against my consent. Okay, we agree that's a violation of what we can call free will in this case. But let's talk about this. Is it possible to make a truly independent choice without influence from anything? And we'll get into that in the second half of the show. Larry, why don't you take us out?
Okay, sure. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We come out every week on Wednesday at 7 o'clock on WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM. And here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Simply the best. I feel like it. All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to 103.9 FM Wozo Radio. Simply the best.
Welcome back. I'm Doubter 5, and this is the Digital Freethought Radio Hour, second half of the show, on WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, June 21st, 2020, and let's talk about the Freethought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're in our 18th year. We have over 1,000 members, and you can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org. Or you can just go to Google and type in Knoxville Atheist, and it'll should bring it up for you. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you can still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one? Start one. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee, or RET. Go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events to find out when they get together. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about Knoxville Atheist Call-In TV show. Well, it's now online on YouTube. It broadcasts live. Should be broadcasting live on Wednesdays, 7:30 p.m., I believe, 7:30. It's called Freethinkers United Coalition. And you just go to YouTube and search for that, and you can find them and their archives there. If you're interested in getting involved with the TV or this radio show, just come to an Ask Meetup or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host or guest. Be sure to visit digitalfreethought.com and click on the blog button to find out more about our topics and how to listen to our or download our radio shows. Nice. Our topic today is free will.
Free will.
And we need to get into the repercussions of whether we have free will or not. And if we don't, how can we hold anybody accountable for what they do?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, well, guys, I can't find it. Do you guys know where it is?
What's that?
Where's the love?
Oh.
Where is the love? Where is the love? The love? The love?
Where is the love?
Guys, we have a lot of great feedback. I made a Black Lives Matter post on our Street Epistemology page and got a lot of support for it, and I'm really thankful for that. Also, I think what was cool was a conversation on how can SE be really helpful for this particular point of view. And SE, I think, is just a really great way to have people talk with each other without trying to make each other defensive, without trying to start an argument or a debate, but like truly try to get to the bottom of things and maybe de-escalate, you know, like our primal reactions that are based
on Tyrone, please define SE for the listeners.
We did in the first half.
Do it again. Okay. People need reminders.
Again, street epistemology is a way not to have an argument or debate with someone, but get to the bottom of why they believe something. And it's a really good de-escalation means of talking with people. And the way I think about it in Three Rules is, keep that conversation positive, help them think, and make it a conversation. And we think that if this is taught in schools, kids who grow up to be police officers will have a really great tool in their belt to help keep, you know, conversations cordial, calm, and actually get past misunderstandings that maybe people have right now. Also, I think it would be nice to have like an SE class for officers, and I'd be willing to fund that. I'd be willing to have my tax money go into that kind of funding. But I had a comment that went by Boss 1000. He said, this post is a breath of fresh air compared to the other conversations I'm having regarding Black Lives Matter and the SE space right now. Thank you. I think we need to learn about de-escalation and policing to learn how SE could fit in. The goals of law enforcement aren't the same as an SEer. So IDing the overlap and having a few specific targeted suggestions might be great. Maybe a basic principle of officers not always assuming they're in the right or at least acting that they project authority would go a long way, for example. And that's true. Whenever I do SE, I try not to be an authority on anything. I go in there with an open mind trying to learn as much as I can. So yeah, thank you for that comment, Boss 1000. Let's get into boom, 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 free will. We'll lead it back to Boudreaux. Boudreaux, where do you want to begin?
I like the idea of what you said, talking about how if we have no free will, then how can we prepare ourselves to deal with that? And how can we educate people to understand, you know, how we still need to be held accountable? And I've thought about this a lot, and I think Sam Harris and Dan Dennett kind of
boom, bingo
on this, right? Oh yeah. We haven't said Sam Harris yet. But yeah, they kind of run into some trouble here where, you know, there is a worry that, yeah, if we, you know, teach in class that we don't have free will, I mean, are people going to just start grabbing guns and going shooting people and just say, who cares? I can't control it anyway. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I think we need to continue operating as if we have it, because go ahead and try to pretend like you don't have free will. It's such an illusion that I think it's really hard to do. Like, you know, stop breathing, for instance. Just try to stop breathing.
Yeah, well, what do I mean, there say? Are people who will stop breathing.
Yeah. Well, Woodrow, what do you say to those people who say, obviously I have free will. I can choose whether I have a hot dog or a hamburger for lunch. You know, it's a choice. What do you say to those?
I usually go with the favorite movie or the random number idea. And I ask them to pick a random number between 1 and 100. And okay. When they give a number, I ask them, like, how did they come up with that number?
If they say randomly, then what?
Right. Well, then you ask them, you know, okay, if you were, and if anyone's familiar with computer programming, if you were to write a program to generate a random number, how would you
and
do
I
it?
I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but how do you generate a random number with a computer program?
You tell the computer to generate a random number.
Yeah, it's and the it computer really just a call.
Does an expression. Yeah.
It's called a function.
Okay. How does the library come up with it? There's a specific.
Not randomly. Sure.
It uses
it's not random.
Yeah.
It's something called a seed, right? Mm-hmm. Use a seed. Yeah. That seed is a starting point, and it could be the temperature of the CPU, the time of day, something. Right. That's different. So
even the limits that you give it could be the seed.
Yeah, exactly.
But as long as the seed is the same, the random number always comes up to be the same.
It will. Each time. And then you ask, okay, if I could roll back time, could have you given me a different random number? And if the answer say yes, then you say, why? Why would have you? If nothing else changed and we just replayed it again.
So just open the floor a little bit for everyone else. So what Eric is basically saying is, despite the fact that you may not be capable of making a unique random choice on your own, you're still culpable of your actions. You're still responsible for what you choose. Well, so he's not saying you're free of that.
Society has to treat you like you have free will. Has to.
Right.
You could say, now, if I stuck my hand in a snake pit, then the snake bit me. Would you say that the snake was operating on free will or that he was pre-programmed to bite me? You know, that type of thing. We're all pre-programmed to do things because of the way we were raised, the school we went through, and all the environments.
To an extent, we're a function of our background environment.
But we don't let snakes go roaming around our house. So if we come across somebody who's chooses or has the free will to kill somebody and does, we assume that he can do that in the future. He may choose that choice in the future. It may be chosen for him, even if he's got no free will. And we have to lock him away from the populace. So we have to treat him like he has a free will and has chosen to do something. But even if he has no free will, we still need to separate him from the population.
Right. And Dale, I'm going to throw this question out to you. Do you think we're responsible for our actions? In which cases are we not?
To me?
Yeah.
We are certainly responsible for actions, if nothing more than what Larry says, to protect the population in this, you know, civilization. But we do know that, like Larry said, there are certain creatures that have no free will at all that I can see, and that would be like a spider that was already programmed to do his web. He doesn't do it creatively.
Oh, so, what? I love create. What? Okay. Keep going. I'm sorry.
So I believe we have a certain amount of free will, or at least we have to be treated as we have, but we do not. Larry's right. If we're programmed into Christianity and to trust someone who says they're a Christian, then we're going to vote Republican or whatever one that says he loves Jesus more than his atheist or demon-worshipping Democrat opponent.
Right. I want to say something about spiders.
Is there still a law in certain states where you have to believe in some god to run for office?
There used to be. There were 9 states that got that in their constitution. Ooh. Tennessee is one of them. Article 2, Section 9, I think.
It's not there anymore, though, right?
Well, there have been amendments. Okay. But we can't change the constitution because it's a founding document. We have to leave it the way it is.
We can amend it.
Yeah, it's like the U.S. Constitution allows for slavery. We don't have slavery anymore because we amended it. But the Constitution still says that.
Cool. Hey, I will say this.
At one point in Tennessee, you were not allowed to run for office if you were a minister or any one of the cloth.
Mm-hmm. True. Atheist or a minister, which is kind spider, of strange.
Spiders make thousands and thousands of babies almost each time. And the spiders who make the classic spider web have a very optimal function for catching bugs. The ones that make, you know, faces and smiley faces or Charlotte Webb's messages like, hey, that's a great pig. Those die because those aren't designed to catch bugs. So only the ones that make those spider webs, as we're aware of it, live, and the creative evolution. Spiders die.
Yeah,
and that's evolution
selection.
Practice. So there might have been creative spiders, but they just die. So we. So there's my shout out to them. Hey, Dread Pirate, actually, would you mind if I ask George, George, what do you think? What is a case when we're not responsible for our actions?
Who's George?
Well, Tyrone, that is a very tricky question, because I've looked into this, and there's no short answer. People are programmed, I think, in a very complex way. In other words, we view the world through a color filter, and then we react to that filtered vision that we see. So our actions are a reflection of the distorted vision that we have of reality. And that people form a protective filter based upon the two crazy parents that we had and their delusional systems. So to put it very quickly, our free will comes within that context.
And so we do have free will and we do have choice in that
context. Well, we have free will within that context. And that's, you know, so we're all going to bumble. We are all going to make mistakes. We're all going to see through our delusional system.
Sure.
We have some of shared delusions, and we have unique delusions.
Yeah, and the scary thing is, to a reasonable degree, everyone's delusional. So it's just, do you have the healthy delusions for society or not? And how can you reduce the number of delusions that you're actually operating under so that you can like use the best means of determining what's
my
true?
My delusion is better than your delusion.
Yeah, it's always right. And I think that's the pursuit of SE in a sense, is like just trying to figure out what's the best way to figure out if something's true or if something's false. Dread, I'm going to throw this out at you. When would be a time when we're not responsible for our actions, if free will is as we're defining it in the second half of the show?
That's a really tough question, because I think there's a bit of a sliding scale on that. Mm-hmm. I was going to refer to a show I like. It's called The Carbonaro Effect, and it's a street magician. Mm. And one of the tricks he does is, and he explains it after the fact, is to guess someone's favorite actor.
Okay.
And so in the preamble, in the conversation that he's having with the person he's going to do this trick on, he inserts all these suggestions, you know, different names of Tom Hanks movies.
Yeah.
All, you know, numbers associated with the movies and all that kind of stuff. And then he says, okay, write down your favorite actor on a card.
Yeah.
And then he writes it down, and then he flips it up, and they go, oh, I can't believe that you got it right.
Yeah.
And he had just essentially manipulated, covertly their free will.
He led him to the answer.
What he had already predetermined was going to be the answer. Now that's a pretty clear and obvious way of doing it from a skilled magician's point of view. Mm. But I think you know we're kind of tossed to and fro by all the influences that we are subject to in a day or throughout our lives. And so in essence, we are just responding to more or less the subtle influences that we don't, you know, pay attention to on a very conscious level.
Sure.
It's like, yeah. The question is often asked or suggested. I think Matt Dillahunty says, beliefs inform actions, and actions have consequences, but we don't get to choose what we believe.
Right.
What I mean? So I think, you know, put in a parallel sort of form to the question of whether or not we have free will. Mm. It's all those influences that we're not really paying attention to every day that actually inform us of our, you know, inform our actions. And so that's why I don't think we really have free will.
I think that's beautifully said. I also think there's like the idea, and this, JW, let me know if this is funny or not, because you're the present comedian. But I feel like the Olympics are becoming less of an athletic showcase and more of a bad parenting convention. Because when I see kids who are like 6 years old and training day and night to become like the world's best ping pong player,
or like
best, I don't know, whatever random sport there is in the Olympics right now. There's documentaries that are heartbreaking of kids just at 3 a.m. in the morning because they have to get perfect A's, but they also have to be the best person in the world. And their parents being like, do this, strike harder, make your serves better. Come on, do this. Come on.
I think a good case can be made that it's abusive.
Well, see, if you ask the kid says, well, I love ping pong and I, this is what I'm choosing.
Well,
to
I would tell you I loved Jesus when I was that age too.
Here we go. So and, the root cause to what Dread Pirate was saying is like, you can have influences influencing your free will.
Yeah. I'd like especially, the entertainment industry too. They do that a lot.
Oh, definitely. Don't make me sad.
What industry was that, Doubter?
The entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Forcing their children
singers,
into
television shows, singing, all kinds of
TV,
stuff.
Playing movies, instruments. All that stuff.
What about beauty pageants?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. You gave me the next Amazon Prime binge watch that I'll be doing. So, yeah, I think definitely who you are as a person today is absolutely influenced by the parents you have, the environment you grow in, the socioeconomic bracket that you're
your
in.
Geography, you know.
Geography,
if you were
the food.
Raised in India, you'd probably be a Muslim or a, you know, a Hindu or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I'll ask this.
Go ahead.
Boudreaux, so it doesn't seem like there is a way to come up with a truly unique thought if you're always influenced by your environment. So what?
So I think admitting that...
This is why I fall asleep in chapter two of Sam Harris's books. Just like, yeah, okay, so what? I'm sleepy now.
Wait, I never finished the book. I don't know how to answer. this is where I think you tread carefully because I've pissed people off before talking about free will and they've left the room because it just makes them so mad to think they don't have it. But if we know enough about the science, we know enough about how our brain works, and we know this exists, we can avoid things like the Charles Whitman shooting in Texas, where he left a note after killing himself that, hey, study my brain. There's something wrong with me. I didn't want to do this, but I was compelled to do it. He was basically telling us, I don't have the free will to not do this. And now knowing what we know about the brain, now pulling that tumor out from the brain very likely would have saved his life, saved
potentially,
right? Right. But understanding that and moving that forward and at least having that as an option, I think is a much better way to kind of proceed with how we treat this.
Dredd, what do you got?
That's a good physiological example of how, you know, something going wrong in your brain can you know, affect your behavior. But I think, and I didn't mean to sound doom and gloom to say that we don't have free will because of all those other things, but I think tools like critical thinking are means to enhance our ability to actually make choices that we decide on. You know, evaluating evidence and having a reliable means to justify beliefs, right?
Yeah. George, what do you got?
Well, you know, there's an emotional component to this. You brought back some memories. And I used to have a friend who was a follower of Jim Jones.
Oh, that's the Kool-Aid dude, right?
Yeah.
What's
that? Yeah.
Yes, that's the Kool-Aid
guy. Just so people
guy.
Know, it's now, the Kool-Aid guy. I know that's terrible.
I was living in San Francisco when Jim Jones became all the rage of San Francisco. This is the part that people don't know about, they don't talk about. But Jim Jones pretty much took over the psyche of the entire city of San Francisco.
He was basically crystals in Portland, basically. He was like the human version of crystals in Portland.
I don't know.
If Nathan was here, he would love that joke. Anyway, I'm sorry, okay. Lord Creature, keep going.
It's like Jim Jones was in the newspaper every day. He was
influential. Yeah,
everything. The city board of supervisors were listening to his ideas about this, that, and the other thing. And next thing I know is this whole thing is blowing up in Guyana.
Mm.
And it turned out that Jim Jones had a huge brain tumor.
Oh, what? Is this true? I didn't know this.
Yes, look it up. Okay. And, you know, this was just, of course, found out after the fact. So we had all these people following him like lemmings.
Hmm.
Drink this Kool-Aid, right?
I will say this, just so people who are watching the show, because we got a lot of people watching, just because you have a brain tumor or will have one or had one doesn't make you a maniacal,
right,
psycho killer person. What I think, yeah, is being...
But if you're the leader of a country, I think you need to get checked out, Mr. Trump.
One thing at a time. And one thing at a time. And I would also say, like, if what we're saying here is your thought process seems to be controlled by your brain, obviously, right?
Well,
and
I
if things are influencing your brain, your thought processes, your behavior, persona would possibly be changed, right, too. Maybe your empathy, all that stuff.
My friend who was a follower of Jim Jones was left behind because not all of Jim Jones's followers were in Guyana. He had a whole bunch of people left in the United States. My friend stayed here. And when all that thing blew up in Guyana, he was bewildered because his father figure had vanished. My friend had a father who left him at an early age, and he spent almost the rest of his life looking for daddy.
It's another way the religions hijack family. They hijack it. So many things, but they hijack family like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love to have JW listen in. You've heard more or less everyone on this idea. What do you think of the idea of can free will, if it's all mechanical, absolve someone from their responsibility as a person? And what case would that be acceptable if you don't think that's feasible? Like, when am I not responsible for my actions, if there's ever a case?
That's a very, very deep and challenging question. What's going on in my mind right now is when we're talking about the brain tumors and we're talking about free will and we're talking about what the guy said before, you know, he did the shooting and he shot himself. I'm wondering, it's just like, so we have a self that controls things in the brain that can recognize when it's losing control. So maybe when we're talking about free will, maybe we're just talking about control, but then that goes down a whole other rabbit trail of like who is or what is the controller and what was that guy losing control to. And so it opens this whole other arena of dialogue and scientific study and psychology and neurology. I really wouldn't, I don't have an answer to that question that I feel confident to assert.
And the question in my mind is, whose cult is the dominant one, you know?
Well, on a different topic, on a different
Christians.
Trail, yeah.
Christians are winning. At least in the Western, that and the idea that news, media, entertainment is actual news. But guys, I'm going to leave it up to Boudreaux for one final thought. What do you think about this? Did your mind change about anything? Do we have like a good talk? What's like the most interesting thing you heard? Boudreaux, round us up.
No, I think it was interesting. Although I'd like to talk to JW more, maybe offline a little bit, because I heard some smuggling in of control and things like that, that I don't see any evidence for, like with the self having control, the self is just a witness. We're just watching all this movie play out. So I think we made a really clear definition of free will, but then our passion and our other things have kind of, the illusion is sneaking back in that we still have control. And I don't know. I'm super interested in this topic, but I think we covered it nicely. Ty, I think you did a nice job.
How about with this? And this will, I'll open up the floor for like just two more minutes and I'll take out my plugs at the end. But it sounds like what JW was saying, that also falls back into what George was saying, is that we have the ability. So we are influenced by our environment and they give us maybe like, say, 10 options that are all non-random. But we can use critical thinking to assess which of these 10 options given to us by our environment is the most optimal to move forward. And if we use that as a vehicle to determine which of our best choices are our actual best choices, we might coincide with everyone else's best choices and have what is essentially a optimal way to conduct society.
Tyrone, we live in a democracy, you know, and that's what's coming to my mind, is that every one of us in this democracy is subject to our own delusions. How are we going to do it? You know?
Yeah. And critical thinking could be the way out. What do you think about that, Boudreaux? Do you think that's acceptable?
I think that's a beautiful, that's a beautiful way of putting it, because it kind of fits into punishing someone if they do something bad. You know, other people see, if people see someone going to jail for killing someone, now they're influenced not to kill someone, hopefully. But if people are making better decisions using critical thinking and other people are looking at it and saying, wow, those critical thinking tools really help that person get a job or make better decisions or do good science, maybe that'll influence them to kind of get on board. That's a beautiful way of looking at it.
Cool.
Well, you mentioned a thing just a little while ago I'd like to address. So when should we not be held accountable for actions? The law allows for that under coercion. Sign a contract, that's an action. But if somebody's holding a gun to your head to make you sign that contract, that even the law will allow that you were addressed.
Yes.
To sign it. So I just wanted to throw that in.
The other definition of free will again, right?
Yeah. I also wonder if like every gold medal is a gold medal of duress. I'm sorry. Oh my God. Don't reward those people. All right. So Dread Pirates, where can we find your stuff at as we close out?
Well, we're live streaming right now on Mind Pirate, MindPyrate on YouTube. And that's where you'll find my videos and the live stream.
Sweet. And hey, Boudreaux, what is going on with this podcast situation? What's going on?
We got an update. Uh-huh. The reason I was late today is I was on the water with Chad on kayaks. It's a five-year tradition. We're going to start. He and I are going to just do that. We are going to bring GoPros. We are going to record a conversation on the water.
Nice.
We don't know. Bring your own BYOC. Bring your own kayak.
Best friends. The best friends club. Whatever. These guys are such best friends. Nice. Yeah. JW Kennedy, you are about to – you got all hooked up. You look in a higher fidelity. We can hear you more clearly. What's going on with you?
Well, the comedy clubs are opening back up here near Nashville slowly but surely, so I'm hoping to get out there sometime this season, this summer before the fall, and record a few videos and post them on the YouTube channel JW Kennedy. Also, my Street Epitomology channel is going to be Speak Your Beautiful Mind on YouTube, and you can follow me both of those channels, both of those contents on Twitter as well. You can follow the JW Kennedy one on Twitter at JWK Hates the News. And I believe on Twitter is Your Beautiful Mind, spelled UR or speak. Yeah, I think.
Speak Your Beautiful Mind.
I think. I'm not sure.
It is that.
Let's just say Speak Your Beautiful Mind, spelled UR. And so your, or just, you know, Google Speak Your Beautiful Mind on Twitter and you should.
Cool. Dale/good looking man, what is a way that we can find you or learn more about deism?
I can't help you there.
Well, fair enough. I don't think God can either. George, Richard, what do you think? Where's a way that we can find you if you have any media? You said you were a radio show announcer in the past. What was your old station? And
are you talking to me?
Richard? Yeah, I'm talking to you. What are you talking about? Yeah, what's the situation over here? Hey, what's going on? What happened?
I was, 50 years ago, I was on WCRX in Springfield, Massachusetts, nice. Which was a 50,000-watt classical music station.
Okay, very cool.
It has not existed for about 45 years.
Oh, jeez.
But do you have anything that you'd like to point our listeners to now? Do you have any online content, a presence online that you'd like
to share? No, like to check out.
I do not. I'm in a state of confusion about social media.
Okay.
The state of confusion has to do with the fact that I do not want to be surveilled.
Ah, hey, I'll tell you what, you are still reaching out to new atheist group. This is like a new concept to you. I would say for his, on George Richard's part, reach out to a community. You can look up on meetup.com and see if there's one nearby you to join. And if you can't find an atheist community to join, start one. Nice. Statterfy, what do you got?
Okay, my stuff, as it were, is on digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button. We have this radio show is archived on that website, as well as atheist songs and articles on the subject. If you have any questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org, and we'll answer them on future shows. Our podcasts are available through iTunes, Stitcher, Luminary Podcasts, iHeart, et cetera, et cetera, all over the place. And to close the show, I usually like to remind everybody that everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. See you next week on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Right.
Bye.
You got to say that faster.
Listening to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.